May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Dear friends, welcome today. We're talking about temptation. Maybe you've heard about the minister who likes to park in non-parking zones. Maybe I'm talking about myself here. There was a minister who was traveling about, and he parked in a non-parking zone because he was running out of time, and there was a lot of traffic, and it just seemed like the thing to do. It was a large city, and yes, he was running out of time, but as all ministers are, they're good-hearted. They just sometimes make mistakes. And so he decided to come away with a plan, and the plan was to do this, to put a note on his car that said these words, I circled the block 10 times, and I couldn't find a spot, and I had to make my appointment. And in bold letters, he wrote, forgive us our trespasses. He walked away, went to his meeting, and had his appointment with the person that he had scheduled to be with. No problem, no concern. Came back to his car, and there was a ticket on his car with a note replacing his note. And that note said this, I've been circling this block for 10 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'm not doing my job. In bold letters, lead us not into temptation. Today we're talking about temptation, and whether you're a minister that likes to park in non-parking place, in non-parking zones. I might have done that a few times for Oregon State Beaver games, I have to admit. Whether you're a student going to school, whether you're someone who just has work or you're on the phone with a relative, temptation hits all of us. And you know, temptation is not a joking matter. We're in Lent, and I'm not supposed to be saying jokes in my sermon, and I've already broken Lent rule number one. Temptation really isn't a joking matter, because friends, you know maybe from your own life, as soon as you give into it once, you've gone over the hill, and the third, fourth, and fifth times become so much easier, and it becomes habit, almost second nature, and you don't even have a problem with it at all doing it, even parking in non-parking zones. It can become a habit. I think I've shared in Bible study before someone who I heard it in seminary, but hearing it in their own life story really gave it color and meaning for me. I once met someone who embezzled $400,000. Wow. $400,000 sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? And it is a lot of money, except when I tell you how it was embezzled, you'll gain a little perspective on how it was taken. This person worked at a business, and she managed the funds and the monies, and $200 was taken one month, $4,000 the next month, $500 the next month, and it wasn't to go on any luxurious cruises or any amazing trips. It was simply to keep up with everyone else in town to make sure her kids could do all the trips and all the things that all the other kids did. Well, after 20 years, the amount had totaled $400,000. Yikes. She admitted to me that the first time that she did it, she had a lot of pain in her heart, a lot of guilt, and she said to herself, I'm going to pay this back. But it became so natural and a second nature kind of thing to her, that she got to the point that she felt that she deserved to do it, that it was just something that naturally came right to her every single month. Temptation is not a joking matter. It's not just that little guy on our shoulder that we see on cartoons that speaks into our ears. Temptation is something that can take us way down a dangerous path and can ruin our lives. Well, how do you deal with temptation in your life? What do you do? There are lots of different strategies. If you go to the bookstore, here are the most common ones that you're going to find to deal with temptation. Number one, study the temptation that you have. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If we know a little bit about potato chips, that they're not so good for you and that they have that much fat in them, That may change our motivation for eating them at 2 o'clock in the morning. Here's another strategy that's out there. Put barriers so that you can't be tempted. That makes sense too. Don't get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to the kitchen. Or don't buy potato chips at all. Put that boundary up. I joke about it, but there are serious plans here to deal with temptation. And here's one that we promote here at Peace and also in the Philomath community. Join a support group. And that's very important too. And you can see how that works. Or here's a fourth one. Go on a retreat and hit the reset button. That's a good one as well. But what I'd like to suggest this morning is a fifth one. A fifth strategy to deal with temptation. One that we as Christians should never forget. And that is this. To ask our Heavenly Father to deliver us. Have you ever tried that strategy? We forget about it, but that is how the Lord's Prayer goes. Lord, we have trespassed, but deliver us from evil, it says. When I was growing up in Spokane, there was a man in the congregation. His name was Mr. Moeller. He was 70 years old, and he had an affinity for the children. He loved them dearly. And so every single Sunday, he came prepared as someone would who loves children. By prepared, I mean he had a pocket full of candy. All sorts of candy, butterscotch, lime, cherry. My favorite was butterscotch. He taught confirmation. But the biggest thing that Mr. Moeller was known for was the candy that was in his pocket. But there were some rules with the candy in his pocket. A child or youth couldn't just come up to him and just expect to get the candy. They had to ask for it, a special way of asking. And this was the phrase, I wish upon a star. If you said that phrase, old Mr. Moeller, go into his pocket and pull out that candy, and he'd hand it out. And it was a beautiful thing because it didn't matter if you had messed up that day in class or you were the star student. All you had to do was ask, and Mr. Moeller would deliver. Isn't that how our Heavenly Father works for us in temptation? He opens his hands whenever we ask. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, God is faithful, and he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, but if we are tempted, he will deliver us so that we can endure it. God opens his hands. And there are multiple ways and solutions that God gives to us to deliver us from the temptations that are right before us. And the good news is this, is that it doesn't matter if you've given into that temptation one time or you've given into that temptation for 25 years every single month. God reaches into his pocket and he gives you his grace and a way out of that temptation that is put right in front of you. But it's the same way, friends, with Mr. Moeller. Have you asked? Have you asked? You got to ask. The Bible says this, ask, it will be given to you. Knock, the door will be opened. Seek, and you will find. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, and let's pay attention today to the ways that the strategies that he uses with Satan, because they're strategies that we should use too. Satan comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, turn these stones into loaves of bread. Jesus quotes the scriptures, Deuteronomy, and he hearkens and goes to God's word and how God can deliver. Satan tries again with the second temptation. Jesus, bow down, throw yourself down and have someone catch you. Jesus responds with God's word and recognizes that his Father will deliver him. A third time, Jesus, look at the kingdoms of the world. I will give you everything if you bow down and worship me. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy again. He realizes his Father will deliver him. You know what's interesting is that Jesus' strategy is so different than what you see in the world. In the world, what we see are strategies to just focus harder on the self and try to overcome the temptation. Did it work for the Israelites when they came up with their strategies themselves to save them in their difficult times? It never did. It always worked to stop and ask for help from their Father, from God who is guiding them. You know, what I've found in life is so often when I'm tempted, and pastors are no different than anyone else in the congregation, when I am tempted, what I have found is that the strategies that I put together, A, B, C, D, the solution is almost always E or F. I work, I plot, I plan on how it's going to go, and the solution is E or F. God has a solution for every temptation that we face, and it is often E and F. They're solutions that we haven't even thought or imagine, but there's always a route of escape from temptation. May we hold on to that and recognize those plans of God. Daniel in the lion's den, who would have ever thought God's way out of that was to put the lions to sleep? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would have ever thought that God would deliver them from the fiery furnace? Who would have ever thought God's way of Peter and Paul being trapped in the prison would be an earthquake that would open up a way for them to leave and go in a new route that God had planned for them? God is at work. Ask. He'll give it to you. Amen. Let's pray about that. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lord, we say those words every week, and we confess today that we oftentimes don't live by them. We come up with our own ways to deliver ourselves from the temptations in front of us. Lord, today, may we learn the lesson to stop and ask. Lord, we thank you for your hand that gives us exactly what we need. In Jesus' name.